This is a download from BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, this is The Morning Run with Xiaoning and Chuang. In about half an hour, we'll be speaking to Azrul Muhammad Khalib, CEO of Galen Centre for Health and Social Policy, on Malaysia's COVID-19 efforts and the likelihood of the RMCO being extended, which is also the subject of our poll this morning on Twitter. And we are asking you, if COVID-19 cases continue to rise in Malaysia, would you accept stricter restrictions? Do let us know what you think. I think this is something that is always on our mind since there still is, unfortunately, no vaccine and no cure for COVID-19. But in the meantime, let's talk about reindustrialization, because we as a country has, you know, I would say very good at coming up with visions. So we had Vision 2020, and now it's Shared Prosperity Vision 2030, all with the aim of building a high-income nation. But that seems like a lofty goal now, especially when poverty still exists today.
Yeah, and it's no longer rural poverty that experts are worried about. It's urban poverty, something that was stressed upon by Philip Elston. You know, he's the former UN special reporter on extreme poverty and human rights. And in a report he released last month, he said that our national poverty rate of just 0.4%, the lowest in the world, by the way, was misleadingly low and unrealistic.
And you can actually catch that very interesting conversation, which was a Breakfast Grill interview we had with him, on Spotify or on our BFM app. But with more people living in the cities and towns today than in rural areas, we're seeing more social economic problems that need urgent attention. So how can the government tackle the rising urban poverty issue? Well, there is a proposal to have a reindustrialization policy, because that may help in creating high-skilled and high-paying jobs. And that proposal comes from Hafiz Norm Sham, a visiting fellow from the Research for Social Advancement, or REFSA. Now, they are a think tank that looks into political and social economic issues of the nation, with Senator Liu Chin Tong as its chairman. He joins us on the line to elaborate his point further. Thank you for joining us on the this morning, Hafiz. Now, what are the reasons behind Malaysia's premature deindustrialization? Why didn't we capture or capitalize on the industrialization boom of the 80s and 90s?
Yeah, I mean, we did capitalize on the industrialization in the 80s and 90s. It's quite hard to say otherwise. I mean, I would claim that Malaysia during those decades had its own industrial revolution. But the things that happened in 2000 with the entry of China into WTO changed the equation very much. And that caused Malaysia to deindustrialize a little bit. From back in 1998, 1999, high-tech manufacturing as a share of GDP was 60%. By middle of 2010, 2016, it was just about 7 or 8%. So all this is primarily because of China, not because of anything else.
Yeah, Hafiz, why has the growing Malaysian population not seen a proportionate increase in high-skilled jobs with high-paying wages? What's the disconnect?
This goes back to the deindustrialization trend. If your high-tech manufacturing is shrinking as a share of GDP, that means the kind of jobs it produces also will shrink as well. I mean, high-skilled jobs would go down as a proportion of your overall labor force. And also at the same time, as this high-tech manufacturing like electrical, electronics, optical manufacturing goes down and replaced by more traditional industries, for instance, in the Malaysia case, it was more low-tech manufacturing. So that would create that kind of jobs. The jobs would just go where the factors are. So this is the reason why high-skilled jobs is not going as fast. It just links back to the factors that Malaysia is having right now.
And are there any downsides of a reindustrialization push? I mean, in this post-COVID-19 era, do we actually have the bandwidth for such a push given the current economic conditions?
Yeah. I mean, in industrial policy, we might choose a winner, but most of the time, we will probably likely to choose a loser. But at the same time, do we have a bandwidth? To be fair, I mean, usually change happens during a crisis. If you don't do anything during a crisis, the situation would push you towards a direction that you don't like. So you are really forced to do something. Whether we have a bandwidth or not, I think we really have no choice.
In your report, you mentioned how the National Connectivity and Fiberization Plan could spur industrialization. Talk to us about that and what jobs you envision coming up from there.
So, talking about jobs, it's really hard to imagine what kind of job it would create, because if you have this infrastructure, you know, for industrialization, it would create new industries that people probably wouldn't be able to think about right now. But at the same time, if we invest in this application infrastructure for productive infrastructure, which would lead to industrialization in the sense that it allows for industries that rely on data to emerge in Malaysia. For instance, with better and wider fiber optic backbone, we could house, for instance, new data centers, more data centers. Malaysia have already do have a couple of data centers and some of the big investors coming into Malaysia. And having this infrastructure will make Malaysia more competitive in that area. And this data centers, for instance, will require more engineers, more training in data and statistics, all those things. So this is kind of industrialization that we talk about. It's not so much building like cars anymore, but it's a different kind of industrialization, more about data, more about industries that require creative analytics, that kind of thing.
And Hafiz, you also mentioned moving away from dated policies in order to address poverty issues. Now, what kind of policies would you like to see the government roll out to address the current social economic conditions we are already in?
It's not so much specific policy, it's more the direction of policy, right? Because for the past couple of years, there's been debate that the government has been focusing too much on urban areas, for instance, right? And the assumption is that if you help urban areas, that you're not helping the poor. But the thing is, Malaysian population increasingly are urbanized. 76% of Malaysian in 2018 or 19 live in urban areas. So you need to move away from the perception that if you help urban areas, you're not helping the poor. The thing is, there's a lot of poor people in Malaysia that live in urban areas. In fact, more than rural areas likely. So I'm more talking about the shift and not fearing the criticism that if you help urban population, you're not helping the poor. It's just that point need to be absorbed and accepted. Don't be scared to help urban population, because they are poor people as well over there.
Thank you for your time. That was Hafiz Noor Shams, visiting fellow at the Research for Social Advancement, otherwise known as RESA, looking at the industrialization policy of Malaysia, or maybe the fact that we really do need to look at looking at it with a fresh pair of eyes. But I think his point is quite interesting in that, you know, one of the things we need to shift away from is, you know, things like building cars, which he highlighted, and maybe we should really look at other things like data centers, fiberization, moving into those sectors, something new.
Yeah, I mean, at the risk of overgeneralization, right? You can say that there's only two kinds of industrialization in the world. One is private sector driven, and one is public sector driven. Malaysia, you know, we pursue the latter policy, right, where it's a top down approach. And the problem with that is that governments tend to not move as fast as private sectors do. So if you pursue a vehicle policy which then becomes quickly outdated, they can't pivot as fast. Private sectors can, commercially driven enterprises can pivot very fast because they can just cut jobs, cut enterprises as they do because profit is the number one priority, and they can pivot into the new business. Theoretically speaking, right? But governments can't because they've got to look after jobs, and that's a national policy as well.
Yeah, but I also want to correct myself because the poverty line has been revised in Malaysia. So the government estimates that the poverty rate is now 5.6%, so not 0.4%, although the World Bank does estimate around 18 to 20%. But I think the reality is that there is, unfortunately, still urban poor in Malaysia, and we do need to relook at some of our policies to address these issues. But up next, we'll be speaking to Matt Dickson, Dickinson, Professor of Political Science at Middlebury College, on the US elections and postal voting. That's going to be happening after the 7:30 a.m. news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.